I'm wrestling, do not weep for me. Celebrate what I am. Celebrate what I have been. Celebrate what I represent. And celebrate the many ways I have impacted your life. I will survive this test as I have survived others. I am forever etched into the very fiber of all mankind. The world needs me. Time is on my side. History guarantees me. I am wrestling. Do not wait for me.
What's up, everyone? You're listening to episode number 94 of the T. Rowan Funky Show, brought to you, as always, by Defense Soap, Defend What You Have Built, and Dahlmer Mats. Tommy, what's going on in Ohio?
Nothing much, man. Just shoveled the driveway. We've been getting dumped on out here. I don't know how it is out there in Wisconsin, but we have been getting dumped on all weekend, but made for an easy weekend of watching lots of wrestling in person and on the Big Ten Network. So,
well, we got a little bit of snow last night. I actually drove to Chicago this morning, and the roads weren't terrible. I'm actually out here in Nebraska. I've got a pretty good friendship with Brian Snyder, who's the assistant coach, and I always wanted to wrestle with Jorah Burroughs because I never have. And so I was wrestling with him today, and I'll be wrestling with him for the next 2 days, having a lot of fun.
Dude, what? You're training with Jordan Burroughs for fun.
Well, I don't see why not. I love wrestling.
I mean, if that's not a guy that loves wrestling, I don't know what is.
Yeah, I mean.
So do you think you have a quicker double than him?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But, you know, I've wrestled with most of the greats of our generation. There's a few that I have not. And, you know, it's like I said, I love wrestling. So it's just so interesting for me to get in there and mix it up with people and feel what they got and all that stuff.
You know what's funny is that in all of the podcast world in wrestling, probably we're the only two co-hosts that have wrestled Burroughs and Snyder in the past calendar year.
I thought yours was more than a year ago.
No, I worked out with them less than a year ago. I don't tell you everything, man.
Less than a year? And so what happened?
Well, what do you think happened?
Was it worse or better than the first time?
You know, I think we did a lot of drilling, a little bit of wrestling, and he's pretty good. I'll just leave it at that.
I understand that I would not be competitive with Kyle Snyder because not only is he a world champ, but he also has 40, 45 pounds on me. But I would like to get in there and feel with him. You know, I'll take an ass whooping. I'm not scared.
That's what I love about you. Did you see that Snyder squatted 690 pounds? It wasn't a full squat.
Really?
Well, it wasn't a full squat.
He needs to stop putting that much damn weight on the bar. Like, at the end of the day, he doesn't have to lift anyone that weighs more than 225. So what's the point?
Yeah, I'd rather see how many times you can lift 225, right?
You know, as you get older, it's just more about, for me, it's about staying healthy, right? That was like an argument I had with everyone because my training intensity level in MMA significantly dropped, and I don't think my body can have the output that it did when I was, say, 22, 23, 24, 25. And so, like, with a lot of people in MMA, they go balls to the wall and they get hurt, right? And it's like, okay, listen, Tommy, my job is not to train. My job, the only thing I get paid for, is to show up and fight in a cage. And so training, while it may help me do my job better, it is not my job. I do not get paid to do it. So if I can't show up in the cage, I'm not doing my job.
I love it. I love it. I love it.
Yeah, but some people obviously don't subscribe to that theory.
So are you wrestling with James Green too?
No, he wasn't. He wasn't in today. I think he's got maybe a small injury or something that's going on. It was just Jordan, and then Coach Snyder was kind of putting the workout through with us and that kind of thing.
That's great.
Yeah,
dude.
It's fantastic.
And you're just doing this for fun.
Just strictly for fun. Yeah, Brian Snyder did a camp for AWA in September. And I said something like, man, I would love to wrestle with Jordan. That'd be so fun. And he said, well, why don't you come down? And I said, well, shoot, why don't I? So I said, as soon as I retire from MMA, I'll figure out a good time to come down. And I'm here for 2 days. It ended up being a pretty good time.
That's awesome.
Yeah. And so, You know, I would actually did a, I did a Mental Monday. I don't know if you, you know, people who are listening, I do these Mental Mondays on Facebook. They actually get a lot more views than our podcast does, so I'm assuming that people watch them also. but you know, it was funny because my thing was about beginner's mind today, and I didn't get too in depth with it on my Mental Monday. I talked for about 5 minutes ish, and you know, I could not believe Jordan was just such. You know, listen, I would argue that Jordan might be the, you know, if we pick one point in time, we could pick the best version of a person, the best wrestler to ever walk the face of the earth, and it was so.
I interesting. Think that's a fair statement.
I think he can go. I think he can beat anybody. Maybe not. You know, maybe he doesn't have 10 world titles like certain people, but we picked the best version of that person. I think he can go
at
with anybody
at a specific time.
Oh, yeah, at one time, their very best version.
Yeah.
So, anyways, but he was like, "Well, how do you do this? How do you do that? Let's go in this position that I'm not very comfortable in, and let's see what you can do there." You know, and it was right. Just like, man, you know, some of these kids win a U State title and they think they know it all, and this right. guy might be the greatest wrestler on the face of the earth, and he's still trying to figure out more about wrestling. It's like, well, no duh, why he's so good.
Yep. It's almost like those guys, because I think Kyle Snyder is very similar. And I think you had this, Ben. I didn't have it as much, but they almost either it's genuine or they almost like Jedi mind trick themselves into always tweaking and looking for things to better themselves. Like they're just thoroughly interested in being better when they're already the best on the planet. And
So I mean, I think I can speak for myself, and this is kind of what I said my Mental Monday is. I was always open to new possibilities, right, Tommy?
Yeah.
Like, hey, maybe the way we're doing it or the way the coach wants to do it isn't the best way to do it. Maybe there's another way I can do it that's more effective. And, I mean, honestly, I thought so deeply about wrestling. You know, I found gaps in the system that no one had previously exploited, and that was what I turned into some of those scrambles that, you know, right. are obviously becoming more widespread today. But it was because I was so entrenched with that mentality that is what I'm doing the best way to do this, or is there a better way to do it? And I, you know, right. I constantly had that thought in my mind when I was thinking through positions and doing stuff. And that's, you know, obviously, you know, people lose it, but it's like, what, man, it would be hard to lose that mindset when you're the greatest ever. And he still has it.
Yeah, I know. And I think it's a daily management thing because I don't know. I just feel like at any given moment, you could get swallowed whole by the external influences of measuring yourself in ways that are irrelevant instead of just trying to get better. And so I think these guys always got to keep discipline, and it's almost like getting lost in the technique and the learning kind of insulates them from the outside world saying, hey, when's the next world title coming? When's the next gold medal coming? If that makes any sense.
Yeah. No, that makes absolute sense. And that's, you know, that's something I get frustrated with in youth wrestling. I've got listeners. I promise we're going to talk about college duels, but we're having fun with this discussion. So I struggle with that in youth wrestling, Tommy, because people want success so quickly, and I always feel like, well, if you're going to do it the right way. Maybe that's not what we should be measuring. How many wins you get this when you're in third grade? Is that really how we should be measuring your success? Or is it going to be more effective to kind of bring you up slower? And are you going to get more wins later because of that? So I think that's a huge problem with a lot of people, is because everyone wants immediate success. They want it now. They want to see the fruits of their labors immediately, and they can't kind of delay gratification on certain things.
Oh, yeah, and that's especially true with technique.
Yes. You know,
they find the better guys find one or two or three ways to win. They get really good at those one or two or three ways, but they haven't diversified their skill set. And then at a later point in time, they're essentially a one-trick pony.
Yes.
And they have this fear of doing other things, and they never grow.
Yeah. And to your point, it's not – especially, and so this isn't even a high level, but when I was wrestling in high school, I didn't have a good high crotch, and I remember I knew I needed a good high crotch, right? Because you have to be able to attack both sides of the body.
Yep.
And man, I will tell you, it was about 18 months till I was effectively using it in competition.
Right.
Right? I mean, where I'm hitting it in practice. I'm drilling it. I'm looking good in practice. And then I start getting it live in practice. But to actually where it was like successful implementation on a regular basis in matches, it took 18 months. I mean, that's a long time to put a new skill into practice.
And how old were you?
That was probably like my sophomore year of high school when I really started trying to figure out my high crotch. And so I'd say later my junior year, my senior year is when I really started having more success with it.
Yeah, no, man, it's a journey. And having a broad skill set is critical. And you can trick yourself into thinking that your way is going to take you to the promised land just because success sometimes is a bad teacher, not a good teacher.
Yes, 100%.
And it just makes you feel like you've got it figured out. And so that's where, you know, having the right partners, having the right coaches, having the right mindset, you know, it just being in it for the long haul, like how we started this conversation off. I mean, you've got to delay gratification a little bit to build that broadened skill set.
Hey, let me ask you another question since we're kind of talking theory of wrestling. You want to hear it?
Yeah.
And I'm curious if you can find someone. So I was thinking about this, about the Penn State guys, how their attack rate is super high, right? And then I think, you know, honestly, I think Jordan fits into this category because I was lucky enough to watch Jordan from his freshman year at Nebraska when he wasn't that good. And then obviously, right to the point where he got to. And then, you know, as Colin Moore was another person I was thinking about. But has there anyone who has a very, very, very high shot volume? And so we're talking at the college level, who does not become very, very, very successful?
Man, I can't think of anyone.
And
you know,
here's my thesis. I'll just tell you my thesis, and you can tell me you think my thesis. My thesis is that, and if they're shooting a lot, they probably have a high desire to win, right? They're probably putting a lot of effort, not only in their matches, but you can probably guess they're putting a lot of effort in practice every single day, right? Number two, from both the finishing end and the timing of getting to a good attack, the more frequency you do it with, the better you're going to get at it, right? And so over the course of a match, you take two shots, you only get two opportunities. And then, you know, if you're not shooting a lot in a match, you're probably not shooting a lot in practice. So you're getting very, very few opportunities to test the timing and to test the finishing ability, right? Whereas if you're shooting a whole bunch, you're getting a whole bunch of opportunities to attack and a whole bunch of opportunities to finish your attack.
I think all of that's true. I also think that at the collegiate level especially, you're seeing the finished product or a refined version of a guy's that learned how to be successful with a high attack rate. And we, you know, maybe at high school, the guys that attacked a lot that couldn't figure it out didn't go on to wrestle in college. But I think there's a lot of merit in what you're saying. I also think this too. I think the people that can have a high attack rate just have a very strong internal belief system. That's not to say the guys that don't shoot a lot don't believe in themselves, but it's kind of like sales. It's kind of like sales. Like the market, the best sales guys I know, it's not how good they are. It's how much they care about getting rejected.
Yeah.
And
because,
you know,
you're saying because if they care about rejection, they're going to try to avoid rejection, which means they're not going to take as many opportunities.
Right. And the best sales guys are like just letting it rip all the time.
Yeah.
And they get rejected or the shot gets stopped and they're just it's irrelevant to them.
Yeah.
It's completely irrelevant.
That's
I think that guys with a high attack rate, it's like, you know, they grew as young guys all the way to these, you know, college wrestlers. It's just like, you know, you might go behind me while I'm trying to shoot, but I believe that attacking at this high of a rate will yield a result for me that will work. And I think that has something to do with it too.
Yeah, I mean, because, like, you know, one that you're thinking, you know, that you would have a good idea of is like Colin Moore. I mean, you remember you told me you went and wrestled him when he was a true freshman. He was just shooting, you were hitting easy go behinds, but he didn't stop shooting. He just kept shooting, right? And now,
that's right.
2 years later, he's a different guy. And I'm assuming if you went and wrestled him, it's probably going to be, you know, maybe you're going to get the best of him, maybe not, but it's probably going to be a different, scenario.
It would be entirely different. And it's a good point. His redshirt year came and worked out with him. I ran behind him a lot. And I got a feeling, you know, you fast forward a year and a half, if I were to walk on the mat with him,
Yeah.
He would be taking just as many shots, and I'd be doing a lot less of running behind.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
So yeah, that belief system matters.
Yeah, and so I guess one of the people I was thinking about this with, and maybe we can get his duel, is like Nick Lee, right? You know, he's good now. He's not great now. You know, I could see him All-American or not All-American this year. I have a hard time seeing him placing really high. But, you know, is he
did lay the wood to Gasca. I did watch that.
Gasca is really up and down. I'm not going to put a lot of stock into that. He looked pretty good against Michigan. I want to say he won 8-5 or somewhere in there. You know, but he lost to Yanni. He lost to Caden Gefeller. And so, you know, he's taken some losses this year. But, you know, Zane, the jump Zane made from a true freshman to his sophomore year, Nolf made a gigantic jump, right? And we've seen these guys, even David Taylor, right? David Taylor's redshirt year, another guy with a very high attack volume, he got whooped by Siler Sanderson. I mean, he got the beatdown a couple times. A couple times. And then all of a sudden, obviously, fast forward just 1 year, and all of a sudden it's a different person.
Yep.
And so,
yeah, I mean, I think there's a lot. I mean, not like we're uncovering some, you know, epiphany, but
yeah,
attacking a lot is good.
Well, but I don't think anyone's put it in those. I've never heard anyone put it in the terms of, you know, you're getting a lot of opportunities, and when you give yourself a lot of opportunities, you're going to get a lot better. Is that fair?
Yeah, no. I mean, I've said this when I was coaching for a hot minute in college 4, 5, 6 years ago, whenever it was. And when I coach kids, you know, the kids that don't go on the mat, they go on the mat and they don't do much and they come off. It's like, hey, you know, you want to know why I was quiet? Not because I don't care, because there's nothing to say. There's nothing to build from. I mean, yeah. If you're attacking, then we've got a product that we can criticize. You want to go out there and do things that people can be critical of so that you can continuously improve. If you don't take the shot, if you don't, and this goes for anything in life, if you don't go do something that people can help you be better at, if you're so gun shy that you're not going to do anything, then your improvement rate, to the point we've been making, you can't improve as fast as other guys.
Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree.
I mean, I have to get into the business thing, but I manage 11 sales guys, and I always tell them, call volume matters. Not because it equals sales, but it's repetitions. If you make 100 calls in a day, that's 100 opportunities for you to have a conversation with someone and better yourself.
Yep.
If you're making 25 phone calls, you got 1/4 of the repetitions that the other guys did to get better at your craft.
Yes, absolutely.
Anyways.
Yeah, no, I agree. I agree fully. Yeah, so let's go into the matches since we talked for 20 minutes about Theory of Wrestling, which I hope some of our viewers at least enjoy that. That was fun for me. I could talk about that forever.
It is who we are, Ben. So yes. That's just the way it is.
That's just deal with it. We have the microphone and you do not.
Yep, that's right.
All right, so let's start off with this this Penn State Michigan duel. Tommy, I know you caught some of the highlights. I caught this one live. I think you were actually at the Ohio State Minnesota, right?
That's correct.
So I got this duel taped. I watched it slightly tape delayed. I had to finish up practice. Man, Tommy, this was an awesome duel from top to bottom. Good matches, great crowd. I really, really, really enjoyed it. You know, Nick Lee looked pretty good. Zane, the guy wrestling Zane, I think his name is Malik Amin. He didn't roll over. He gave Zane a good battle. I think Zane ended up
right.
Maybe he got a pin with a few seconds left. If not, it was a tech fall. But then Nolf and Patelio.
Panaleo, as you used to call him.
Well, yeah, that's what I thought. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. It was an awesome match.
I've read about it. I've had plenty of conversations with people that watched it. I'm in a lot of text groups. I didn't get to see it. I didn't record it on the Big Ten Network, so I didn't get to see it. But basically, Nolf had to use every ounce of him to win the match, from what I hear.
Yeah, well, so, okay, so Pantaleo got two takedowns in the second period to make it 5-4. And then go, so obviously going into the third period, he's got a lot of momentum, right? And now I understand right. This is a tough decision because if you choose neutral, right? If you choose neutral, Pantaleo can't ride Nolf. So even if he gets one takedown, that's not going to be enough because then Nolf's going to get the escape. It's going to be 6-6, right? So right. He knows, hey, okay, if I choose neutral, I'm going to have to get at least two takedowns to win this match, which obviously is a tall task because Jason Nolf, right? But you did get two takedowns in the second period.
That's where, I mean, I didn't watch the match, but if you got two takedowns and zero escapes, well, it seems like you're more likely to get a takedown than an escape.
Exactly. So then he chooses bottom in the third, which I was shaking my head at. And, you know, Willie Saylor made this ridiculous statement that way too many people choose bottom. And he had no statistics or facts to back up his sentiment.
One of the more mind-boggling, I mean, it kind of blew my mind that it's a debate when Willie did that, by the way.
Yes, there's some people who think, I saw even someone as smart as Jerry Abbas saying, if you're on bottom, that's like a losing mentality. It's like, what in the hell are these people thinking? Like, Tommy, I think I got ridden maybe one time in my – no, I don't think I got ridden out ever in my college career, right?
Right.
And so I'm not one of those guys that says choose bottom no matter what. Definitely not, right? But for most people, in most matches, bottom is the correct choice. And obviously, there's the flow of the match. There's the how good is the guy on top. There's a lot of considerations to be made. But again,
I think I actually tweeted to Willie this. I'm going to see what I said to him.
Uh-oh.
See if you agree with.
Well, yeah. I mean, so
anyway,
my sentiment.
About Nolf.
Yeah, I don't think Pantaleo should have chose bottom. I thought he got ridden for a while in the first period. I thought it was pretty obvious that he was going to get ridden again. He didn't really come close to very many escapes, even though he might usually not get ridden. Obviously, Nolf's very good on top. But I didn't think Nolf was going to get pushed like this. I really didn't. And Nolf went into not Nolf mode because at no point in matches is Nolf usually like, I'm going to stop trying to kill this guy, right? And that was how he was in this one. He's like, well, I'm just going to ride this guy. I'm going to ride this one out here. And I mean, that's what happened, right? That's what happened.
Right.
And so I was shocked. I did not think that was something we would see this year. I really did not know if Nolf, I thought Nolf could possibly go through the entire season bonusing every single person.
Yeah, I know. It was, and Pantaleo, how many matches in a row did he lose to start the season?
He had a terrible start. It was like four or something like that.
Yeah, just mind-blowing, you know, but he has had some good wins, so.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
Nobody could have seen that coming. So, hey, here's what I said to Willie when he made his comments. I said, even with new rules, points, and interpretations, choosing bottom is still a scoring opportunity. With every opportunity, there is usually a corresponding risk. That being said, the good wrestler should still be choosing bottom 95% of the time. Match score and opponent top game make up the 5%.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, the other thing that Willie didn't mention – so top wrestling has gotten a lot better in the last, say, 15 years, right, Tommy?
Sure.
But it specifically in the last 3 years, the NCAA has enacted some more stalling calls on top that have went more towards the advantage of the bottom person, right?
Yeah, here's the other thing, too. That's a good one. And then here's the other thing that Willie said that didn't make sense to me. He's like, you know, he cited basically – one of the reasons why it's disadvantageous to choose bottom is because they now have a 4-point near fall. And I remember thinking when he said that, like, nobody chooses neutral because there's now a 4-point near fall instead of 3.
Because giving up either one is pretty terrible.
Yeah, it's like, I mean, if you think you're going to get turned, you're going neutral.
Yeah.
I
didn't think of it that way. Yeah, if you think you're getting turned, you're probably just not going to choose down, period.
Oh, man, they got that 4-pointer now.
I was okay with giving up 3 points, but I'm really not okay with giving up 4. Oh, I didn't think about it that way, Tommy. That's a good one. That's really good.
Anyway.
Okay, let's see. Alec Pantaleo. It says I'm looking at this one thing. It says he only lost to Josh Shields and Ian Brown, but I don't believe that's correct. I think he lost a few more than that.
Yeah. Well, great match for Panaleo.
Yes.
And be really interesting at the Big Ten tournament in East Lansing.
Yeah, should be fun. Okay, then, oh my God, Vincenzo Joseph looked pretty good. Massa did not look like himself. You know, obviously he has not wrestled since the Las Vegas Cliff Keen, which he injury defaulted out of, so you don't know if, you know, there's injury.
Something has to be going on.
Maybe his weight bounced way up. Maybe he's injured and he's just saying, hey, I got to tough this out for the rest of the season. You know, so we don't know what's going on. He did not look nearly as sharp as we've seen him look before.
No, and that's a continuation of what we saw at Vegas. So to the point we've discussed, it's got to be an injury or weight issue.
Yeah, definitely. So, 70 at 174, the other Amin brother, he gave Mark Hall a battle. He got the takedown with about 10 seconds left to go 5-5, but obviously Mark had riding time, so that was the deciding factor there. But
right.
Another really, really high-level match. And then at 84, barn burner between Nickel and Abinader, and I think there was two no calls on takedowns in the third period that definitely should have been takedowns.
I don't know where I saw, but I saw like some GIFs or something of people basically saying the same thing you just said.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely thought it should have been a takedown. And then Nickel ends up scrambling through that to then get the takedown, which would have then been a reversal. But if you think about it, if Michigan challenges that, then it stops where the initial challenge takedown was awarded, and then Nickel would be on bottom, right?
Right.
So
that
would have been a big match changer. But, you know, that's another one where I didn't think Abinader could go with him. And so, you know, overall, Penn State didn't look as good as normal. Does that mean Michigan's a little better than we thought? Does that mean Penn State was having an off night because maybe they were training through it? I don't know what that means.
I think it's all of the above.
Okay. Fair enough.
Hey, I don't want to talk about the Buckeyes until it's time to talk about the Buckeyes, but do you think...
Well, let's go. Let me make one more comment on there. Two more comments on Penn State. The Shakur Rashid guy, I like him. Great cradles, good movement. Looks small for the weight class, but, you know, looks pretty strong. Hammered Kevin right. Beasley. And then Nick Neville's did not look good against Adam Kuhn. Kind of took him to the woodshed. So that's all I got on that dual meet. Let's go. I was able to catch some of the Ohio State, Minnesota. So let's do that.
Well, I mean, before we get into that, Neville's losing the way he did to Kuhn is a continuation of what we talked about last week with his scuffle performance.
Yeah.
And that's big points, man. If he shows up to the Nationals wrestling like that, that's a big deal.
Well, maybe they can make it up at 97 now because this Shakur Rashid guy, he's wrestling pretty darn good.
And they freed the other Lee. So.
And you know, we don't know where he's going to finish. So they could definitely make it up. Tommy, so I will – let me just give Flow Wrestling another – people give them crap too many times. Tommy, do you realize how fantastic it is? I was at my wrestling practice on Friday night.
It's fantastic.
Wait, I was at my wrestling practice. Coach Messerbrink's running the practice, so I'm, you know, hey, I'm right. I'm like kind of hanging out. I, you know, I'm helping out, but I also have my Flow app on my phone, and I can scroll through all the live matches. So I'm clicking on Ohio State, Minnesota. I'm clicking on Wisconsin, Northwestern. I mean, how fantastic is that?
It's insane, dude. The access to wrestling. I think I've mentioned this in previous podcasts, but you know, when I was growing up and you were growing up, the only thing that I was a fan of, true fan of, was high school wrestling, because that's the only thing I had access to go watch.
Yes.
I would go watch my sons. You know, I have a second grade son who's pretty into the sport and is a fan, and then I have kindergarten twins. Ben, they don't care about high school wrestling. I don't even expose them to high school wrestling. They're watching college, dude, like it's college football.
I mean, it's awesome, isn't it?
If I told if I asked my son, who's wrestling who in the Penn State versus Ohio State duel. I bet he could name both names on both teams in at least seven of the 10 matches.
Wow.
So it's a different day and age with the access to watching wrestling and following wrestling, and that is led by yours truly, Flow Wrestling.
Yeah. So that was fantastic.
Even with Willie telling people that you shouldn't choose down because they just came out with the 4-point near fall.
he's gonna be so mad at you. Oh man. Okay, so let's just talk about. There was only one really, 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 really high level match, and it was awesome for Ohio State. Man, did Nato put it on Ethan Lezak. I mean, that was a beatdown.
Beatdown. You know, you kind of saw, I mean, I don't know. I guess when I watched both guys wrestle, I was obviously Nato's coming back from an injury, but I kind of felt like it was stylistically heavily in Nato's favor. But I would not have predicted that.
No one did. I mean, that was like,
No, I was thinking 5 or 6 point win in control, something like that, to just unleash Fury on Backpack Man.
Crazy.
Impressive.
Totally impressive. Okay, and so I guess I did miss one, Tommy. You should have corrected me, but you probably didn't want to bring this up. Joey McKenna got the beatdown.
He did. Two big moves. You know, I'm not as in the know as people think on the Bucks, but to me it kind of looks like a weight thing.
Cutting too much weight?
Cutting a little too much weight, I think. No, maybe not too much, just, you know, he hasn't even wrestled that much. I think it's one of those type of deals. And Thorne's good, obviously, yep, but to lose by 10, you wouldn't have predicted that. And that was a beatdown.
No, I thought McKinney was going to win because Tommy Thorne got beat. We talked about this last week. Tommy Thorne got taken to the woodshed 18-4 by Yanni.
Yeah, exactly. So
that's pretty bad. Transitive property of wrestling. It's not looking good for Mr. McKenna.
Yeah, we don't need to go through all these matches because, you know, the duel was in a lot of ways uneventful because it was kind of lopsided. There was really no back and forth matches. But I do want to bring up Miles Martin. If you were Ben, who do you think's wrestling better this year, Bo Nickel or Miles Martin?
Well, Bo Nickel just had the 4-2 match with Abinader, and
did you watch Miles Martin versus Abinader in the finals of Vegas?
I think if you had, well, okay, so here, if you asked me prior to Nickel versus Abinader, I probably would have said Nickel, and now I'm more on the fence. Is that fair?
That's fair. What if it comes down? I mean, if it comes down,
it
to
could.
Martin,
it could. It absolutely could. And obviously, we're gonna see him multiple times because we're likely to see him in the duel. We're likely to see him in the Big Ten Finals. And then we're obviously likely to see them in the National Finals unless the outlaw Pat Downey has anything to say about it. But I don't think he's going to have anything to say about it. I guess we'll see.
PD3, we'll see. He reminds me a lot of you, Ben.
Whatever. Just stop. I didn't get kicked out of like 4 different colleges.
I know. I'm just kidding.
And I All-American more than one time.
You sure did.
Okay. So,
anyway.
So let's go. I think we just go to Oklahoma State, Iowa. Is there anything else about any other duels that you wanted to bring up or no?
No. Virginia duels, kind of uneventful.
Yeah, Virginia duels.
Nebraska over Purdue, somewhat uneventful. No big matches there, at least that I can think of.
Yeah, Chad Red got upset, I guess, would be the one big match. Illinois beats Northwestern in a close one. Northwestern beats Wisconsin. Minnesota beats Illinois. So, again, nothing too eventful there. So what do you make of the beatdown? I'm going to call it a beat. I don't know, is it fair? I'm going to go ahead and call it a beatdown that Iowa gave Oklahoma State because they did not make Oklahoma State look very good.
Well, it's hard to wrestle in Carver Hawkeye. So that's part of it. And, yeah, I mean, Iowa just wrestled better. And Iowa got after it more than they normally do in the beginning of their matches. I don't know if you noticed that in watching the duel. But I thought they were a more genuinely aggressive team. Instead of the push and pull stuff, I saw more offense out of their guys.
Yeah, that's good. I mean, and there are obviously
– Do you agree?
Yeah, I guess I would say so. You know, I thought, you know, obviously when they're bringing in high-profile guys like Spencer Lee and Michael Kremer, which are high offensive output type of guys, so I guess you could say the same with Alex Marinelli. I would say more offense than in previous years.
Yep, it looked good. They look good. And I do agree. I think between Spencer Lee, Kemmerer, and Marinelli, not only do they wrestle in a more genuinely aggressive way, but they're also they also interact a little bit better with the media. It's not as robotic. They're more, you know, they more human-ish.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a breath of fresh air when you listen to them speak too.
Definitely. And so Spencer Lee comes out, debut at Carver Hawkeye, comes storming out. I think he's up 8-1 after period one. And, I don't know, gasses out, kind of gasses out. I don't know. What do you want to call it?
You know, I think that, you know, given all the circumstances, coming back from a torn ACL, first one-hour weigh-in against a good opponent, maybe his first one-hour weigh-in ever, a lot of reasons to think that that was an anomaly. And I think the biggest thing to point out, Ben, and I know you and I texted you this the other day. I don't know if you responded, but I think there's a distinct difference between a guy who gets himself tired and then a guy who always gets tired by the guy he's wrestling. And when I watched Spencer Lee's versus Piccinini, I saw a guy exhaust himself. And yes, he needs work.
But it wasn't like when you say exhaust himself, it wasn't like he had to fire up 15 takedowns to get one. I mean, he got the first takedown pretty easily. He rode him, he turned him, he got the second down takedown pretty easily. So it wasn't like he was in a war, per se. I mean, is that fair?
I just don't think Piccinini imposed a style that made him tired. I think it's more – I just think it was a little bit of an aberration on how tired Spencer Lee got.
Yeah, let's I mean, just, I've never seen Spencer
say this.
Get that level let's of tired this. Before.
Yeah, it was goofy to me. I think it might have a little bit to do with the one-hour weigh-in against a quality opponent. I also think that, you know, how in shape can you really get when you're rehabbing your knee for 6 months? So, in my opinion,
he's been on the mat for like 3 months, though, Tommy. So that's
But how long? I mean, yeah, but Ben, you could be training at a certain level, but when you put the singlet on, you realize where you really need to be. And I just think that you're not going to see that type of Spencer Lee within 4 or 5 weeks. I just don't see it.
He's been back more than 4 or 5 weeks, Tommy. I mean, he's been wrestling since September.
No, he's been on the mat with a singlet on for maybe 30 days. And
well, but I no one can compete before November 1st.
But I'm saying when you get out of – have you ever been out for that long, Ben? Have you ever been off the mat for 5 months and then got back on it?
No.
I have once, and I'm telling you, it's a unique you just got to get back in touch with that feeling. I just don't see it being something that he has an issue with definitely in his career. And I don't even think by the end of this year.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, I've watched a decent amount of Spencer Lee matches. I've never seen him gas, but he did not wrestle high pace the whole time.
He gassed. He absolutely gassed. And let me tell you where it will hit him.
NATO, this Sunday.
This Sunday, it could be an issue again, for sure. For sure. That's a hard thing to fix in 7 days. So,
hard thing to fix, and yeah, exactly.
Interesting thing there. So anyways.
Yeah, because even if it's like a weight issue, and you maybe need to bring your weight down. So you know, obviously, people don't realize there's the water weight cut, right? And then there's like, hey, dieting to get the size of your body down. And so,
right.
You know, if he wants to do that, he could do that. It's going to take a couple weeks. It's not going to happen in 7 days. To your point.
Yep.
Yeah. So that's going to be fun, isn't it?
Oh, that'll be good. I'll be there. I'll be there for that. That'll be a real good duel. Cade Brock, uneventful, look good. Dean Heil, typical Dean Heil.
Dean Heil can't go get bonus points. I mean, for God's sakes, Dean.
Yeah, it's kind of weird with the team matching the balance.
Yeah.
No, it would be, so.
Go cut him and go get some damn takedowns. Let's go.
What other matches did you like in this duel meet? I thought Nothing. Alex Marinelli, he's wrestling good, brother.
I thought that was a good win for him. You know, Chandler Rogers, obviously a dangerous opponent. Yeah, there's nothing else that really got me too excited. I guess the other best match. Well, so 197, I never thought Wilkie was that good. Weigel kind of put put it on him, so that proves that. And then, you know, Stoll versus White was maybe not the most enthralling match, but very competitive, and gave a good idea of where both guys stood.
No doubt, no doubt. Good duel overall, though. Usually it lived up to the hype, I think.
Wasn't as good as last year's duel. And, you know, I think people may have overrated Oklahoma State coming into this year. I mean, when you look down their lineup, right, pitching is probably going to place, but you cannot definitely not guarantee a high placement for him. Brock, you think he's going to place pretty high, but, you know, he has taken some questionable losses. Heil should place high, but now he's lost twice this year, hasn't lost in the other, you know, the last 2 years. Boo Llewellyn, I don't think he's going to place that high. John Blaylock, I don't think he's going to place. Rogers, probably not. Maybe, you know, lower AA. Jacoby Smith, maybe lower AA. Keegan Moore, probably not. Preston Weigel has a decent chance. And Derek White, you know, could All-American. So, Tommy, that's you know, I just read down that list, and that's like, shoot, man, that's about a ninth place finish at NCAAs if what I just said happens.
I know. Could be, yeah, I'm with you.
So, yeah, I mean, and, you know, and Iowa here could have, obviously they won the match, but if they have Downey at 84, they probably win even more convincingly in that match.
That would be accurate for sure, at least a major, I would say.
Yeah, definitely. And, you know, Keegan Moore's not having a breakout season by any sense of imagination. So, okay, so this weekend, though, as we alluded to earlier, we have Iowa, Ohio State, which provides some fun, intriguing matches because we have, obviously, Lee Tomasello. Let me just go through all these before we talk about them. We have Lee Tomasello, to me, very intriguing. We have Sorensen versus Keyshawn will give us a very good indication of where Keyshawn stands exactly. We have Micah versus Kemmerer, give us a very good indication of where Micah stands that weight. We got Marinelli versus Tashawn Campbell, another good match. And then we possibly have Pat Downey versus Miles Martin. So, you know, a lot of fun matches in that dual meet.
What's your prediction on Miles Martin, Pat Downey, if they wrestle on Sunday?
I mean, it's so hard. It's like, when was the last time I saw Pat Downey wrestle in folk style?
Yeah, I know.
Has he been training hard? I don't know. Is his weight good? I don't know. Right? I mean, it's like, it's almost like there's so many question marks that it's hard for me to make an educated prediction.
It really is. It really is.
And I don't want to sound like an idiot. Is that fair?
I don't even know what to say. I'm not even sure. I mean, I agree with you.
Yeah. So there's that. Nato and Lee, it's going to be fun, man. You know, I think, obviously Nato got away easy from bottom on Lezak. And so, you know, Spencer Lee, obviously great tilt, strong on top. I have a very hard time seeing him turning Nato.
I do too. Nato's been underneath some beasts on top, so I just don't see it happening for Lee this Sunday. But I'm a fan of Spencer Lee. I think when a push comes to shove, third weekend in March, you're going to see him down there for the semis slugging it out for the title.
Yeah, I would definitely agree with that sentiment. So I would say, here's what I would say. I say Nato gets it done by about four. I want to say this one's not super close. I would say Sorensen beats Keyshawn by a handful. I would say Kemmerer beats Micah Jordan. I would say Tashawn Campbell beats Marinelli beats Tashawn Campbell, and that's the only three matches that Iowa wins.
I think that's a fair statement. I got a good feeling about Mick Jordan versus Kemmerer. I know that's kind of goofy.
Well, but I mean, you know, Kemmerer runs over people, but Michael Jordan's obviously very high level. And You know, strong defensively. So I could see that being a really tight match also.
Yeah, I'm thinking that's going to be a good match. I'll see if my hunch is correct.
At what time? That's what is it? 3:30 on Sunday? Is that when that is?
I just know it's in the early afternoon.
Are you attending that one also?
Oh yeah, I'm going.
You're so lucky to have Ohio State in your backyard.
Hey, guess what else I'm doing?
I got Wisconsin. They get their butt kicked by Northwestern.
I am driving to State College on February 3rd.
That's a frowny face, Tommy.
you
know what it would be like to be able to go watch Ohio State wrestle? Just, hey, on a Sunday, hey, let's go watch Ohio State wrestle. They have an Olympic champ, an NCAA champ, this All-American, that All-American. Like, that would be fun.
That's right.
Damn it. Oh, hey, you know what I saw on Twitter? Last thought. How awesome would this be? I saw that Seth Gross is hinting that he may bump up to wrestle Bryce Meredith, number one versus number one.
That'd be a lot of fun.
How awesome would that be?
I did see that on Twitter.
Yeah, that would be so fantastic. I mean, and very, very impressive just for Seth Gross to go outside the box, have the courage to go up there, because you just don't see that a lot.
Yep, right? Yep. So did you hear that I'm driving to Penn State?
Yeah, that's fantastic.
Do you think it's weird that Ohio State didn't have the opportunity to sell any tickets to their fans?
That's kind of a Bush League move on Kale's part, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know what the
protocol.
What are you doing?
You scalping?
Dude, I'm scalping, and I'm not kidding you, Ben. These tickets are $195 a pop.
The last time you told me they were $130.
They're up. They're up. Go to Ticketmaster, brother.
Here's
the thing is that, a lot of people say, well, you can get in there. It's like, dude, that pass list that all those athletes, there's so many people that want to go to that duel that their whole family's going. There's no way to get in other than buy a freaking ticket on the secondary market.
Yeah.
That's some pretty high demand for a wrestling duel meet.
Damn straight. Why didn't they put it in the dome like I'm talking about?
Well, that's why I think it's a little intentional. So you're not selling any tickets to the visiting team, and you're putting it in an arena that you can sell one out that's three times as big.
Yes. Why aren't they doing that?
Yeah, so anyways, that's just my take. But either way, I kind of like it because you're feeding the Lions to the Lions. Yeah. And it's going to be a scrap.
Yeah, it's awesome.
So, I mean, it's going to be that just creates more hostility. Have you ever wrestled in rec hall?
Never.
I think you could argue that for a match like this, it's a tougher place to wrestle than Carver Hawkeye.
What? That's a ballsy statement.
Now, Carver Hawkeye is a more difficult to place, get difficult place to wrestle, match in, match out. But I've been in rec hall when it's packed, Ben, and it's hostile. So I'm really looking forward to that duel.
Yeah, I'm also. I can't wait to do the preview for that. All right, Tommy. I don't have anything else for you. You got anything else for me?
No, man. Good luck tomorrow against JB.
Man, don't give him any encouragement to whoop my butt or nothing. Yeah.
All right, brother.
All right. Peace, man.
Peace.
You are listening to the T-Row and Funky Show brought to you by Defend Soap. Defend what you have built.